Yasujanya Balaba Yerabadir Hari Yasura Nandana Vraja Janaranjanya Yasura Nandana Vraja Janaranjanya Yamuna Tira Vanakariya Yamuna Tira Vanakariya Vaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Bhagavad Gachara Sotera Sutta Shri Shri Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Charya Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premananda All glorious to some of the devotees All glorious to some of the devotees All glorious to some of the devotees All glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Garanga Ma Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Vastaya Gudale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nikanamane Namaste Sarasvati Devam Gaur Rani Bajarane Hare Krishna. Thank you all for being here. As you heard, Tuesday is the holy appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev. Because not everybody can come, many of our guests are from some distance and not able to be here on Tuesday, we thought we would take today and also talk a little bit about Lord Nrisimhadev and also about Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Nrisimhadev's great devotee. It's interesting that in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto, there are 8 chapters that cover the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakasipu, and Lord Nrisimhadev, and yet Lord Nrisimhadev only speaks a few verses. Anybody can guess how many verses does Lord Nrisimhadev speak in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Finally, this is a very hard crowd to sum. Okay, it's 13. Lord Nrisimhadev speaks 13 verses. Prahlad Maharaj speaks many, many more verses. And of course, much of the pastimes are devoted to the relationship between Prahlad Maharaj, his schoolmates, his demoniac father, Hiranyakasipu, before the eventful appearance of the Lord. Now, although he only speaks a few verses, we all would have to admit Lord Nrisimhadev has the most dramatic scene in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, probably breaking out of the pillar and killing Hiranyakasipu. So it's a wonderful pastime about the Lord, and I think Tuesday we're going to hear a lot more about that, the dramatic readings, that will be covered very well. So I actually wanted to talk a little bit more today about Prahlad Maharaj and his teachings. Because the Lord, of course, appreciates our glorification, but even more so does he appreciate the glorification of his pure devotee. And of course, the pure devotee is always glorifying the Lord, so it's a mutual relationship. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what we learn from the 7th canto in the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrisimhadev. A very quick summary that I came up with, I'm sure there are many, many more points, but these are really 6 points that I found that were very important. Prahlad Maharaj talks about the necessity to take up spiritual life. He talks about how a devotee does not distinguish between friends and enemies, that the goal of life is to see God everywhere. The most advanced devotee's desire is nothing but devotional service. The devotee feels compassion for all living entities. And finally, Prahlad Maharaj exemplifies and speaks about the most complete surrender and faith in Krishna, that Lord Nrisimhadev Krishna will offer all protection to his devotees. So I'm going to mention, I didn't start out with a verse today, because I'm going to mention several verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 7th canto as we go along. First of all, the necessity to take up spiritual life. Very nice verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.6.1. Prahlad Maharaj said, "One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary, like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life, one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete protection." So this is a theme, of course, that if you listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures, that he has, you know, mentioned over and over again. You know, now that you have a human form of life, please take up Krishna consciousness. So Prahlad Maharaj was giving this lesson, and especially as he spoke to his schoolmates, because he told them that most of our life is wasted. In childhood, children simply want to play. We spend half of our life in sleeping. In after youth, we enter into family life. We pursue money, pursue a job. Then finally, we get very attached to the children, the grandchildren. By the way, those of you who are younger, do you realize that, you know, attachment just continues? You know, you think you're attached to your children, then you're also attached to your grandchildren, and you've lived long enough, you'll be just as attached to your great-grandchildren. You know, it's a continual cycle, trust me on this. So this is absolutely true, that we tend to become very absorbed in so many things in this material world, and we don't take the time for spiritual life. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, now that you have this human form of life, take the opportunity. Take the opportunity and don't forget spiritual life and Krishna consciousness. Then another important lesson is that we do not distinguish between friends and enemies. 7.5.12. When the Supreme Personality of God is displeased with the living entity because of his devotional service, one becomes a pundit and does not make distinction between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he then thinks, every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. Srila Prabhupada in his purport says, we are all actually eternal servants of Krishna, but under the influence of the external energy, we think that we are separately situated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead as friends and enemies of one another. Vaishnavas say that since everyone is a servant of the Lord, everyone is on the same platform. Therefore, Vaishnava treats other living entities neither as friends nor as enemies, but instead tries to spread Krishna consciousness, teaching everyone that we are all one as servants of the Supreme Lord. And of course, we hear from the Bhagavad Gita, Pandita Samadarshana, that the sage sees all with equal vision. Now, of course, you might ask, if the Vaishnava sees everyone the same, how does the Vaishnava even choose to preach Krishna consciousness if everyone is the same? And of course, that's simply because the pure devotee who is on the Uttama Adhikari platform, where he does see everyone as simply servant of God, it says that for the purpose of preaching, he acts on the Majjhima Adhikari platform, where one does make some distinction. And that is because the devotee has compassion for the suffering of the living entities, and therefore, as you will, as you might say, descends to that Majjhima platform for the purpose of preaching. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.46. It says, an intermediate or second-class devotee called Majjhima Adhikari offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent, and disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the devotee sees all other living entities in relationship to Krishna. He sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He sees the devotees that he makes friends with, or senior, superior devotees, the guru he serves humbly. Devotees who are less advanced or newer devotees, he shows compassion to them to help them. And to those who are not devotees, he also shows mercy and tries to bring them to the lotus feet of the Lord. Those who are completely opposed to the teachings of God, who have absolutely no interest, he simply leaves them alone. Says he simply ignores them or disregards them. But never with a mood of envy, of hatred, you know, disgust, disdain like that. It's not the mood of the devotee. A great devotee like Prahlad Maharaj also sees that the goal of life is to see everywhere and everything the hand of God. That God is in everything, that He is the source of everything, that everything, all energies, all power, everything that we see is coming from the Supreme Lord. At one point in the story, Hiranyakasipu gets very frustrated. He gets frustrated because he's actually tried to kill his son Prahlad Maharaj in so many ways, and he was unsuccessful. He could not kill Prahlad, no matter what he did. Prahlad was continually saved over and over again by the Lord. So finally, he says in exasperation, "By whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you?" He says in his arrogant way. And Prahlad Maharaj says, "My dear king, the source of my strength, of which you are asking, is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kind of strengths is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength, whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior, everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Wonderful answer. Hiranyakasipu could not appreciate it so much, but nevertheless, a wonderful answer. You were saying, "Where does my strength come from?" You also have so much strength. It's all coming from the same source, the Personality of Godhead. And because his faith was so strong, later, Hiranyakasipu says, "So where is this God of yours? Is he here? Is he there?" "Yes, he is everywhere." "Then let him appear from this pillar." And of course, because of the faith of Prahlad Maharaj to prove his words true, Lord Nrisimhadev breaks out of the pillar and of course kills Hiranyakasipu. So this process of seeing Krishna is not so easy in one sense, but it's also not so difficult. It's a simple process, but not so easy to execute purely. We simply have to worship Krishna, serve Krishna. We have to understand Krishna through devotion. In the Brahma Samhita, text 36, it says, "I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shamasundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotee sees in the heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with a salve of love." So how do we see Krishna everywhere? This mood of Prahlad Maharaj, who saw Krishna acting everywhere, is through a heart of pure devotion. That is the goal of bhakti. The goal of bhakti is to purify the heart so that we can actually see Krishna everywhere, in everything. Now, how do we do that? Of course, in the beginning, in our neophyte stage, we can't see Krishna directly. But Prabhupada explains that we see Krishna through hearing. It is not through the eye, but through the ear that we first understand Krishna. Even Prahlad Maharaj, how did he know about Krishna? He heard from Narada Muni when he was in the womb of his mother. His mother was staying to protect her in the ashram of Narada Muni. And of course, he spoke the Bhagavatam. He spoke the philosophy continually to the mother through that time. And even while in the womb, he heard this philosophy. And of course, his heart became completely pure and transformed. And even from the very birth, he was a pure devotee of God. So we realize God through bhakti, through devotional service, by chanting his holy name and the nine processes of service. Srila Prabhupada often quoted his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, who said, "Don't try to see Krishna, but let Krishna see you by your service." So if we can gain the attention of Krishna, the attention of Radharani, attention of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, attention of our Guru through our service, if they are seeing us, then we are perfectly situated. And then it is only a matter of time, eventually we will also see Krishna. An advanced devotee like Prahlad Maharaj wants nothing but devotional service. He may be offered any benediction, any reward, but he's really not interested. In the Bhagavatam, 7:10-4:6. Learn to Shingdev offers Prahlada Maharaj any benediction he wants. He says, let me give you something. Let me give you benediction. You are my pure devotee. Whatever you want, I can give you. Supreme Personality of Godhead is basically offering you anything in the universe. You name it, it's yours. Pretty good offer, right? Prahlada says, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants to profit in exchange for service. O my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. And of course, he goes on from there. So this is a platform of pure devotional service, where there is no desire other than the desire for Krishna. Very, very elevated platform, certainly, but one that we can learn from and aspire to, at least. Of course, our very definition of pure devotional service from Bhakti-rasamrita Sinda 1.1.11, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, says that pure devotional service is without desire other than the service of the Lord, without material desires. And it's mentioned that service is anukliyena krishnanushilanam, that one must serve Krishna favorably, fully engaged in devotional service. So that's the platform. And the Bhagavatam 1.2.26 says devotional service must be a haitukiya priyata, unmotivated and uninterrupted. Very high standard. You know, sometimes a little daunting in our neophyte stage. But yet we have examples given to us in the Bhagavatam of these wonderful devotees like Prahlada Maharaj, who are exemplars of this standard. And because they are on such a high standard of devotional service, one might think that they are simply absorbed in their spiritual rasa. They are there in the spiritual world, having very little contact with the material nature. But yet, they are very aware of the living entities in this material world, and their attitude towards the living entities is one of the greatest compassion. Prahlada Maharaj is our exemplar of compassion. He said in 7.9.43, O best of great personalities, speaking to Lord Nrisingadev, I am not afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. The mood of compassion of the pure devotee. Feeling the suffering of others. This is what compassion is. Compassion is somewhat like, I'm sure we talk about empathy, being able to understand the feelings and emotions of others, but compassion is deeper. Compassion is not only understanding those feelings, understanding the suffering of others, but actively working to help them in that suffering condition. That is the compassion of the devotees. So finally, upon prompting, Prahlada Maharaj does ask for two benedictions. Shingri says, you must ask for something. So he asked, first of all, that he would have no material desire in his heart. That was the one benediction he wanted, that he remained the pure servant of the Lord. And his second request was for his father. Compassion for Hiranyakasipu, the most worst, evilest demon in the universe, who tried to kill him in so many ways. Can you even imagine this? Can you imagine that level of compassion for someone who is trying to murder you continually? Hard to imagine. Prahlada Maharaj says, my Supreme Lord, because you are so merciful to the fallen souls, I ask you for only one benediction. I know that my father, at the time of his death, had already been purified by your glance upon him. But because of his ignorance of your beautiful power and supremacy, he was unnecessarily angry at you, falsely thinking you were the killer of his brother. Thus he directly blasphemed your lordship, the spiritual master of all living beings, and committed heavily sinful activities directed against me, your devotee. I wish that he be excused for these sinful activities. So this is the example and the mood of Krishna's devotees. Great compassion for the suffering of others, even those who are sinful, because after all, in this Kali Yuga, who isn't sinful, right? Lord Nityananda said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he went to kill Jagai and Mare, he said, you cannot kill them. If you kill everyone who's sinful, you have to kill everybody in this Kali Yuga. Rather, we have come to deliver the fallen conditioned souls, not to kill them. And this example was best shown by our spiritual masters, Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who gave up the comforts of his life in Vrindavan, performing pure bhakti, devotional service in the Holy Dham, and a great personal effort, great difficulty, came alone to this Western world for one purpose, and that was to give Krishna consciousness to all of us suffering living entities. So, following in the footsteps of the great acharyas like Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada also exemplified this. One of the themes that runs throughout the narration of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakasipu is this idea of complete surrender, complete faith in Krishna, and complete faith in the protection of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj dealt with unimaginable adversity. His father tried to kill him repeatedly through elephants, snakes, threw him off a cliff, threw him into spears, and a few other ways too, I think the word fire, I don't know. So many different ways he tried to kill him, but yet his faith never wavered. Krishna always protected him. And he simply chanted Hare Krishna and waited for the protection of the Lord. He did not even ask to be protected. He just surrendered to Krishna, and Krishna automatically protected him. So this is one of the symptoms of surrender, that one is fully dependent upon the Lord and expects the protection of the Lord. And this is a great lesson for devotees, that we need to develop our faith very strongly and become very dependent upon Krishna, because we have no other shelter. There is nowhere else we can really turn. Everyone else, with Maharaj Yudhisthira, who said that our attachment to family members, etc., they call them fallible soldiers. You know, they really couldn't help us, particularly at the time of death. Only Krishna can give us that protection. So, Lord Nrisimhadev, we are coming up to his holy appearance day, and we understand that Lord Nrisimhadev is the incarnation of the Lord who specifically gives protection to the devotees. Now, Krishna in all of his forms and all of his incarnations gives protection to the devotees. In fact, it's described in the Bhagavad Gita in the fourth chapter. This is one of the three functions of Krishna when he incarnates, right? To give protection to his devotees, as well as annihilating miscreants and establishing principles of religion. So he does this as a matter of course in every incarnation. But Lord Nrisimhadev, we see it the strongest, the most dramatically. And devotees, the Vaishnavas, have always been particularly attracted to this form of the Lord of Lord Nrisimhadev as the protector of the devotees. Srila Prabhupada taught us this from a very early time. The first time that Srila Prabhupada became ill, he instructed us that we should continually chant the Nrisimha prayers and pray to Lord Nrisimhadev for the protection. Because Lord Nrisimhadev is the protector of the devotees. And of course, that is why after every single artik, we are chanting the glories of Lord Nrisimhadev, and we are glorifying his protection and Prahlad Maharaj, his killing of Hiranyakasipu. This is very, very important to the devotees. And many, many devotees have experienced personal protection of the Lord. I have a personal story, but I think I've told it several times. Has anybody here not heard my Lord Nrisimhadev story? About two people. Okay, I don't know. Well, all right. Anyway, since it is Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance day, I was basically out doing Sankirtan back sometime in the late 70s in Potomac. I was at the Potomac Temple, Washington, D.C., and I was serving this kind of really, you know, real gruff, you know, unkempt, sort of dirty younger guy comes up to me and said, asked me what I was doing. He says, oh, I have some things I can give you for your church. I said, okay, great. And he said, well, they're out in my car. You know, get them? I go, well, okay, I mean, because we generally take anything that's offered. And so we're going out to his car, and we're going out and out and out, way out in the parking lot, and finally way out beyond where there are any cars. And this is starting to feel a little strange. I don't even see a car out there. So finally he turns to me, he pulls out a gun, he puts it right in my stomach, and says, give me your money. Well, I was trying to think, I better do it. So I give him my money, and he had about $40, and he takes it, and he says, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to shoot you. And he pulls the trigger, and goes, click. Okay, and then he looks a little bewildered. He's not quite sure what to do at that point. And so at that moment, my complete mind and heart and vision was just filled with Lord Nrsingadev. And I was chanting the Lord Nrsinga mantra, and I could completely feel the presence of Lord Nrsingadev, that he had totally protected me at that moment. I would like to say I thought of Lord Nrsingadev first, but I didn't, because it happened so quickly. But even though I didn't have time to think of him, Lord Nrsingadev was so merciful that he came anyway and gave that protection. And then I just started talking really fast and telling him, you know, God just protected me, saved my life, you know, what we were doing. And he's kind of stopped. He started listening and preaching to him, you know, on and on. And okay, he's starting to soften up and we're talking a little bit. And he's telling me, oh, his terrible life. He's a heroin addict, you know, and he said he just had, you know, he has to do this to get money. I invite him to Sunday feast. I said, we have a free feast you can come to, you know, tomorrow. I gave him a card for the temple. He never showed up. And so, you know, finally, I said, you know, I just have to ask something. By this time, I'm getting a little bold. I said, was that gun really loaded? He says, well, it sure worked last night. The guy blew away. And he pulls out the cartridges and showed me it was completely loaded. Somehow it had misfired. You know, and so, anyway, I said, well, so you can see, this is God's protection for his devotees. I said, can I ask you one more thing? He goes, what's that? I said, could you give me the money back? Anyway, that was pushing it. Right then, his partner drives up in this old car and said, let's get out of here, and they take off. So anyway, last I saw of him, they didn't come to Sunny Face. I didn't get my money back. I was a little disappointed. However, I have been I don't want to say I'm a great devotee of Lord Nrsingadev, let's just say I'm very grateful to Lord Nrsingadev since that time, and realize his constant protection in the lives of all the devotees. And there's so many stories. Someone was even compiling a book on all different stories of devotees have had about experiencing Lord Nrsingadev's direct protection. So he's very much there in our lives, in our movement, protecting us, protecting Srila Prabhupada, protecting everybody. And of course, Lord Nrsingadev particularly gave protection to Prahlad Maharaj, 5-year-old boy. We just had a child protection seminar the last 3 days here in Lach. It was very wonderful. We had devotees from all over who have come. Has everybody, I don't know, you all been introduced here? Anybody, does everyone know Radha Dasi is here from California? She's one of our staff members, our case managers, the CPO. Thank you very much for being here. Of course, and of course, I think we've already introduced Mother Malati, who also not only is a GBC and a regular visitor to Alachua, and she gave class a couple of days ago, but she also attended the entire seminar for 3 days because of her great interest in protection of children. And of course, we had so many other people. We have Kamlesh Krishna, Gandharvika, and Dakshina, who came from the United Kingdom, came from Bhaktivedanta Manor. You'll be hearing from them on Thursday night. So we have so many devotees. Who else is here? Yes, oh, Tapati has come. I was going to say, came all the way from Russia, actually only from Michigan, right? Oh, no, are you in Michigan or Tucson?
Both.
From Michigan and Tucson, we have Mother Tapati, originally from Russia. And any other visitors here who came, that are here today? We had some others that may not be here today. But Janaki came from North Carolina to help with the presentations. And so it was very, very nice, and we had some really wonderful devotees who all have this concern and care for child protection. Often when I've done these seminars in the past, I'll ask, what's our first case of child abuse in Hare Krishna sort of movement? And actually, obviously the answer is Hiranyakashipu. You know, he's our first child abuser. He tried to kill his son. So as we can see, this problem's been going on for millennia, for centuries, for thousands. It's been there, you know, throughout the world. So in our movement, we take this very seriously. We want to train all of our devotees. We want to teach devotees how to best protect our children from any types of maltreatment. And so we hold these regular trainings, and we particularly wanted to dedicate Lord Nishinde's appearance to the protection of our children. So especially Tuesday, as we're all celebrating throughout the day, Lord Nishinde's appearance, let's also remember that. Remember how we are going to pray to Lord Nishinde to invoke his protection for all of the devotees, for all of us, and particularly for our children. Also on Tuesday, we will have a booth, the Child Protection Office will be setting up. So if you want to find out more, you want to learn about child protection, or if you want to see how you can help, what you can do to help in child protection, stop by the booth on Tuesday. There'll be devotees there throughout the afternoon that you'll be able to talk to. So anyway, this is a very nice opportunity to think about, you know, the greater idea of protection. So it's actually, and it's not something that, you know, we just created. This is the Vedic principle. The Vedic principle is that there are, you know, protected classes of people. It's described that women, children, cows, the Brahmins, and the elderly should all be protected by the rest of the members of society. I think I fit into the elderly category now, so, you know, help me out, everybody. You see me. So at any rate, these are specifically named. Children. Children must be protected because they are, not that they're 100% helpless, but they're largely helpless without the adult's care and nurturing of them. We have a very nice opportunity here in Alachua. We've always had very nice schools for our children. We have, of course, Bhaktivedanta Academy. We have the Alachua Learning Academy. We have, you know, a couple hundred devotee children who are being raised here in our schools. Plus, of course, we have Mother Mukhi mentioned the 500 families that are here. So this gives us a special opportunity to create a very wonderful community that's nurturing, that's supportive, that we can raise our families and our children the best possible way. And at the same time, when you have many, many children, you also have some risks. So we also have to be aware of those, of what those risks might be, and how we can minimize, if not eliminate, those risks and best give protection to our community. Thank you very much. I'll stop at that point. Are there any comments or questions? Punch Goda. Welcome to Alachua again. Thank you.
Thank you. So for Lord Maharaj, we didn't want anything, but it seemed like Queen Kunti was praying to the Lord, let miseries keep coming to me. I can always remember you. But that seemed like a strange way to pray to God and let the miseries keep coming.
Yeah, that's a... it's almost inconceivable to be at that advanced level, because she said, because when we keep seeing these miseries, we keep seeing you, right? In other words, every time the miseries came, it gave them an opportunity to surrender more to Krishna, and therefore they are always seeing Krishna and becoming very, very happy. Somebody, a sannyasi, was just telling me that one of the, in the Gayatri, it's a few, couple extra verses, couple extra prayers when they take sannyas, and one of those specifically states something like that: let the suffering come, because through that suffering I become free from material energy, you know, and remember you more and more. And one sannyasi was experiencing quite a bit of suffering, was saying to me, he says, I think maybe I should stop chanting that one for a while, you know, because it's a fact that, you know, suffering does come to the devotee, and there's different ways that we can experience that or accept that. We can see it as some horrible imposition. We can see it as, this is my lot in life, like Lord Brahma prayed, you know, due to my past activities, you know, I simply have to, you know, patiently experience the suffering. And we have the other sort of, not extreme exactly, but another perspective of Mother Kunti, who's saying, let the calamities come. In other words, actually almost appreciating suffering because it gives them the opportunity to surrender more and more and to come closer and closer to Krishna. I think at our state, that's difficult to be at that advanced level. And sometimes we are really more in a state, to be honest, of saying, Krishna, please relieve me of suffering. But either way, we're saying, Krishna, please help me with the suffering, or Krishna, please bring the suffering. The important thing is, in that sentence, is Krishna. In other words, the idea is to remember Krishna. And at least we can remember Krishna, please help me, Krishna, in this moment of suffering. That's a good starting point. That's a very good starting point. If we can at least, in times of need and times of necessity of stress, at least remember Krishna, at least take shelter of Krishna, then, you know, as Newer devotees, I think we're doing very well. And as we advance, we might someday attain that very lofty level of Queen Kunti or Prahlad Maharaj. Good point. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.